Hello, everyone. If my voice doesn't travel to all the places, let me know. Raise a hand right away. Okay. Good to know. Is that better? Okay, thank you. So we said earlier that these afternoons are dedicated to the heart. And there's a beautiful Tibetan saying that says, just as a bird needs two wings to fly, so a practitioner needs the two wings of wisdom and heartfulness. Wisdom and heartfulness, both are needed to fly. And in particular, we want to look at four heart qualities. They're sometimes traditionally called the Brahma Viharas, divine abodes, divine dwelling places, or as Gil Fronsdale, a Dharma teacher from the US, calls them, the four faces of love. I love that, the four faces of love. And we've chanted all four of them during the cell phone renunciation earlier today. Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upekkha. These are the four Pali terms, the language of the Buddha. Metta, often translated as loving kindness. Karuna, compassion. Mudita, appreciative joy, and upekkha, balance or perspective, equanimity. So metta, really this friendly, warm-heartedness that welcomes experience, that allows experience to unfold. James was saying earlier, to be kind is key. And this is what we'll look at this afternoon. And then we'll also look at the other faces of love. Karuna, compassion. Really this willingness and this capacity of the human heart, rather than turn away from that which is painful and sorrowful, to actually meet that with care and tenderness. Or mudita, appreciative joy, rather than closing down or being jealous at the good fortune of another, to rejoice, to celebrate, to participate in that happiness. And upekkha, balance, perspective, equanimity. Really, this potential for the human mind to be balanced, to not make a problem out of experience, no matter what happens, right? To meet it with non-reactivity. So I'm just going through these four, and again, each day we'll look at one of them, so you get a bit of a flavor of these four faces of love, and really, they're skillful ways of responding to experience. And they're really both. They support practice tremendously. Right? They can bring balance to the mind. They can stabilize and calm the mind. They can also gladden the mind and refreshen the mind when the mind is dull. We're sad and heavy. They can help to unhook us from reactivity. And all of that is so supportive in what we'll mention over and over again, this continuity of mindfulness, this moment to moment to moment to moment awareness that meets experience with a mind that's awake, that's connecting with the immediacy of experience. But they don't only support our practice, they also naturally arise in the human heart as our practice deepens. And to me, this is something to reflect upon, because to me, it really highlights the beauty of the human spirit. When we become quiet and practice awareness, naturally, these beautiful qualities in the heart start flourishing. To me, that's meaningful. To me, that's sometimes reminding myself of that kind of lawfulness helps me when I struggle with being human. And there can be a kind of misunderstanding that mindfulness is a kind of neutral state. Mindfulness has become so popular and really secularized. And so there can be this idea, I'm training the mind, of being mindful, I'm just noticing experience as it is. But the way I understand this practice and the way it's been taught to me, it really cannot be divorced from the heart, from heartfulness, from these qualities. They're merged with each other in a way. Jack Kornfield, one of the founders of Spirit Rock, uses the term, instead of mindfulness, loving awareness. And I really appreciate that, because loving awareness really highlights this sort of this receptive, open, tender way of receiving the moment with presence. Mindfulness can have this connotation of, you know, the mind doing something, focusing on experience. Well, we already know how to do that. We spend most of our lives caught in the head. But it's really this unity of the whole being that's coming into presence, loving awareness. And one aspect that to me also feels very significant is the invitation for all of us to really become aware of any subtle biases or aversions that we might have towards these heart practices. You know, there can be, and I've seen it in my own practice in mind, there can be this sort of hierarchy of practices. It's like, oh, give me the serious hard stuff. Because we're so conditioned that only if it hurts and is uncomfortable and is difficult, then it will yield results. Like, give me the liberation. I don't want to do the hardy stuff. But that's really a misconception. It's really not understanding the liberation that comes from the heart. Sharon Salzberg puts it so brilliantly. She really connects it with this cultural conditioning that we have all been exposed to more or less degrees in patriarchy and capitalism. She says these views, so the views that think of the heart practices as lesser than, these views are a cultural legacy of the degrading of love to sentimentality. So degrading, making less of. Degrading of love to sentimentality. Love and compassion can be viewed as secondary virtues at best in our competitive culture. If you can't be brave or brilliant or wonderful, then you might as well be kind. It's really important to investigate in one's own heart and mind if there is cultural conditioning around that and the way we relate to these practices because of that. And then, of course, that made me think of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who said, "My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness." Yeah, so to me, there is a real opportunity for deepening our practice when there is a shift to really paying attention, being attentive to how we relate to experience. What qualities am I cultivating? Rather than chasing after some experience that the mind has created a fantasy of that, you know, is particularly pleasant or might be evidence for us being closer to liberation or something. So this question, what am I cultivating right now? And this can really change everything, because then you can step out of this continuous cycle of evaluating each and every sit and how you're doing here. Because then when you sit and the mind is just brutally restless and you keep coming back to the breath, but the mind spins off into fantasies or some hurtful issue that the mind is trying to sort out. And it's like, rather than judge myself for being, you know, a lesser yogi, it's like, this is an opportunity to cultivate patience or to cultivate compassion. So can you get a sense of that shift and how liberating that can be? Because then we can use each moment as an no matter what happens, as an opportunity to cultivate those heart qualities and trust that they will deepen this practice. Okay, enough said, let's practice a little. So yeah, I hear you shifting, that's good. Let's start this meditation in this way. Really taking a moment and feeling into this body. Really taking your time. What is an act of kindness that you can offer to this body? We jump over that so quickly. It's like, I already know my posture. But can we give space to that? Really take a moment and really feel, what can be offered to this body? What could be a gesture of kindness and care? So as you're finding your posture, and some of you might already have a kind of way of settling into a meditation. Just guide us with a few words into one possible way. You can take a few moments to arrive more fully in the body. This is the body sitting and breathing. And as you're receiving this body with awareness, maybe there can be an invitation to soften and relax this body. Relaxation and softening is not something that we can make happen, but we can invite the body. Ah, may this body soften and relax a little. Maybe on an out-breath, we feel gravity pulling us towards the earth. Really sensing into the solidity of this body. And this gravitational force that connects us with planet Earth. Otherwise, we'd be floating around. It's really this reminder of our belonging to this one planet. So see if there can be a way of softening into gravity and allowing your body to just melt a little towards the earth. Ah, bringing in softness. And then balance that by breathing in gently and bringing in an energy into your posture as well. Very gently, with becoming aware of the space above your body. And inviting the spine towards the sky. Letting this posture be an expression of your dedication. Your attentiveness. And then if this is supportive to you, it can be a little exploration. Bring to mind a moment, really just a snapshot of an experience, maybe an image of a situation in which you felt care for another being. This kind of friendly, warm-heartedness. It could be something very simple. A brief encounter with your pet. Maybe putting your hand on the back of a friend that needed, was a bit wobbly, supporting their body with this gesture of care. Maybe holding the hand of a child. Whatever comes to mind easily, just a moment of simple care, of friendliness. Really learning how to not spin a story around that. bring up that experience and then sense into. And a kind of care, or your gesture of kindness. What is that like in the body? How does it feel to extend a simple kindness to another? Kindness that comes from a wish in the heart that the other may be well. And if the mind wanders or if resistance is coming up, that can be met with loving awareness as well. Or with simple noting, this is here too. Or if it's hard to sense that in your body, explore this a little with curiosity rather than judgment. And then I would invite you to bring that kindness, that care, that reaching out into your meditation here right now. Let it fuse with your awareness. What is it like to meet this breath? The gentle softness, knowing this breath, with this warm curiosity, or whatever your object of meditation is. Really becoming curious. What is it like to practice with loving awareness? Knowing what is happening and welcoming it with this simple, friendly, warm-heartedness. What is that like? Staying connected with the body, Again, from time to time, inviting softness and relaxation in. Observing what is happening and meeting it with this welcoming, allowing, kind attitude of mind and heart. What are you aware of now? And is there a possibility of meeting it with some degree of simple friendliness? Receiving this moment through awareness and allowing it to unfold. To close this meditation, I want to share a few words by Bob Sharples for inspiration. Don't meditate to fix yourself, to heal yourself, to redeem yourself. Rather, do it as an act of love, of deep, warm friendship to yourself. In this way, there is no longer any need for the subtle aggression of self-improvement, for the endless guilt of not doing enough. It offers the possibility of an end to the ceaseless round of trying so hard that wraps so many people's lives in a knot. Instead, there is now meditation as an act of love. How endlessly delightful and encouraging. Meditation as an act of love. How endlessly delightful and encouraging.